My name is Lucy Turu. My son is Jovan Gonzalez. My son, like Altagracia Maggi's son, was beaten by a racist gang. Today is not just about police brutality, okay? Police brutality is the tree of the problem. We need to cut off the roots. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't grow back, okay? And the roots is racism. Hear it, okay? Altagracia and I are up here. Her child was murdered by a racist gang. My son was brutally beaten by a racist gang, which changed his whole life. And what the police did was put my son in a squad car in his condition and ride around from the Bronx to Manhattan back to the Bronx and wouldn't allow the ambulance to take him to the hospital. Now you imagine, my son was beaten by 9 Irish kids. He was beaten on the head with bats, pipes, a car club, and police nightsticks. They beat him on the temples of his head, shattering the left side of his face and his head. I'm here. You can't ignore the living victim, because they're victims, okay? You cannot ignore the survivors. You know why? Every time we ignore the survivor, we're opening the door for them to do it again and kill the next one. So we can't ignore the survivor. You know why? Because they could tell us what happened. They're left here to tell us what really went down, so that these cops don't lie and make up all the stories they make up in all our cases. Okay? So we have to honor all the victims so that they can come up here and speak. You see what I'm saying? We need more people. For the people walking right by thinking this is not going to happen to you, I thought the same thing 5 years ago. And I'm up here. This will happen, and it'll continue to happen if we don't continue to fight and scream and kick and whatever it takes to make them stop beating our children, murdering our children because of their fear that we're going to take their job. The color here is green. That's the racism here. That's what they care about. They care about the money in their pocket. That's what they care about. Okay? As far as I'm concerned, our kids are beautiful. Our kids are wonderful. All the parents up here that have these kids, beautiful children, for these lowlives to come take away their lives or to change somebody's life. We need to stop it. You can stop it. You got the right. You got the right to scream and say how you feel and not allow them to touch you anymore. Okay? You need to stand up. And the people walking by, you need to stand up, because it will happen to you in the future. Let's stop it. Please remember, for Altagracia's child, for my son, Jovan Gonzalez, for all the children that have been attacked racially, because remember the cops cover up for these kids so that they could continue to do it, and those are future cops in training, okay? So please remember, today it's about police brutality and racism, not just police brutality. Thank you very much.
Hello. Hello. Hello, my name is Nicholas Avery Sr. My son was Nicholas Avery Jr. He was murdered by a New York City housing police officer 6 years ago. He was playing with a gun like this. It is toy guns like this that caused my son's death. Looks like an obvious toy gun. Doesn't look real to me. But this ain't the only thing that's killing our children. Anything that the police says is justifiable enough for them to murder our children. Keychains, toy guns. These wallets. It doesn't make no sense. Nicholas was playing in the stairwell with some kids. He dropped his toy gun when he knew that it was a police officer, and he told the police, we only playing. This officer shot him anyway. Brooklyn District Attorney Charles Hines never indicted this officer on any charges. In fact, Brooklyn District Attorney doesn't indict or prosecute police at all. I have been fighting for justice since then, and I will continue to fight. This police brutality that's going on here today is also going on across this country. And it takes people like ourselves to mobilize in order to stop this. A lot of people call on the federal government I was doing that at one time also. But the federal government had closed many cases back in the end of 99, including my own. I'm not calling on the federal government or federal mining or the police force. I'm calling on the people out here. I'm calling on you people to do this. This is up to us. We need to fight. We need to protest. We need to continue on rallying and organizing. I would like to give a personal thanks to Refuse and Resist, who's always been there for us, been there for the parents. Refuse and Resist, y'all in the house. I would also like to give a special thanks and shout out to the youths out there, because those are the ones who are under the gun of police brutality. The youth are the ones who the police are targeting. And I have a 12-year-old son that I'm still trying to raise right now, and I'm teaching him the best I can. My son, who was murdered, was an honor student. He had no reason at all to not be here on this planet today. But like I said before, it's going to take a mobilization of people like yourselves in order to stop this epidemic. There's so much I could like to say. I know there's a lot of other parents who are up here who would like to speak also. So I'm going to give them an opportunity. But please understand that police brutality needs to stop, and it's going to take us to do it. Thank you.
My name is Thinh Lan Hoa. I'm the sister of Yong Xin Huang. My brother, Yong Xin, was shot and killed by police officer Stephen Miswai on March 24, 1995. He was playing with a toy gun in his friend's backyard. Responding to a 911 call, two police officers came, including Stephen Miswai. He smashed my brother's face against a glass door. My brother's face was totally injured, and then he killed my brother in the back of the head. He shot my brother in the back of the head at point blank. That means at close range. He was only 16 years old. By the Brooklyn DA, he did nothing to prosecute the officer. He's still working at the cop today, like nothing happened. We must remember that many young people, they're not here today because they were killed by the police officer. You're here with me today. You're joining the movement against police brutality. After 5 years of fighting for our justice, we had not get anything. Yeah. But we're not going to give up until we get judges for all the people who were killed by the police officer. Thank
you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Marie Santo. This is my husband, Jose Santo. Well, this case is about my son, Jose Santo. A handsome, strong guy. He was so healthy. 22-year-old. A right decided on June 9, 1997. Not only racist cops, but inside the jail, all these abuses and murdering is going on and cover up. On June 9, 1997, my birthday was June 21. Father's Day was closed. On June 9, this correctional officer comes to my house at 9 o'clock in the morning, telling me, "Mister, you have a son named Jose Santos." I said, "There's two Jose Santos, father and junior. What's going on?" They were searching around, saw my son's picture. Yes, it's him. I said, "What's going on?" "My son would never murder himself." They said, "Man Santos, we found your son sitting on a chair with sheets tied on your neck. He hung himself." I said, "No, not my son. I think you're confusing." Unfortunately, it was my son. When they gave me, they went out, the priest says, they had to call me and my husband, because I almost had a heart attack and stroke. My son was 22-year-old. This happened on May. He just passed his truck trailer license. He was getting married. There was no need, no idea of things such. Anyway, when they gave me to go ID my son, they showed me a picture, not even his body I could ID. You know why? Because even the hospital line they took out all my son's organs without me identifying my son's body yet. Everything from the inside out. My son had hemorrhaging testicle. They beat him up these correctional. I'm sorry I didn't get to the point. It was the Department of Correctional who murdered my son. Because he has to respect the authority. My son was there for 2 weeks, violation of paroles, waiting for me on a Wednesday when they had to murder him that Sunday night. I'm looking for justice, and it's not easy, because sickening, everything, what I go through, I gotta share with these mothers. But we have to stop letting these animals continue doing these abuses. My son was my hero, and I'm his hero right now. Thank you.
My name is Juanita Young. I'm the mother of Malcolm Ferguson, killed March 1st of this year by Louis Rivera. You probably remember the story. They claim he was running from the police, that he was a big-time drug dealer, that they shot him while he was running. I'm here to tell you the story. My son was killed. Excuse me. I'm going to have my other son tell you because it's too emotional for me. Go ahead.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is James Ferguson, and I'm the brother of Malcolm Ferguson. First of all, I'm going to just speak on, you know, my brother. I ain't going to speak on these pigs on my left, these pigs on my right, these pigs in the front of me, and these pigs in the back of me. I don't respect them. Number one, they took my flesh and blood. I got my little brother, but he got a different father. Malcolm Ferguson was my flesh and blood. They took him from me. I wasn't home when he was killed. I was incarcerated upstate. And I myself am still grieving because I wasn't even able to attend his wake because they felt that I was a threat. They felt that people who would be there, family and friends, might rise and cause a disturbance because I'm just coming down one last time to put my brother to rest. Family, and I say family because family up here and for supporters against police brutality is standing here showing love. I done lost my brother because of a pig. He pulled the trigger just because he was a target. They wasn't feeling him. But the younger generation, they was not feeling my blood. They not feeling him, they not feeling me. Me, myself, and I, I'm still grieving and it hurt. I see pigs over here laughing. I see pigs over here laughing. I see pigs in the back, pigs in the front laughing. And I'm not feeling that. I myself know he was murdered. I ain't going with none of that bull about he was going for a gun because there was no gun found. I myself am not going to believe he was reaching for a gun because I wasn't there. And these pigs will fabricate anything just to keep themselves a job. Meanwhile, we grieving. Every single female and male up here grieves. And I'm not feeling that. I'm hurt. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm tired. I'm tired of just not being able to see my brother on the corner, not being able to see him come home, not being able to see him watch TV, not being able to see him in a club with me, not being able to see him hang out with me. I lost my flesh and blood. So the younger generation, join me, because it's going to be on and popping real soon. Thank you.
My name is Thelma Glitz, and I'm talking about the only case here that is clearly not a racist crime, because the man that was murdered here is a white, Caucasian, educated, Middle Western Catholic, Irish, Norwegian Catholic. Yet he is part of a group that's even more left out and locked out than blacks and Latinos and Asians. This man was mentally ill. When he was shot, the newspaper didn't even say his name. It said, deranged homeless man shot by cops. This deranged homeless man was my boyfriend and lover for 20 years. If you want to know what it feels like to have a friend or a relative shot by police, I'm going to read from my diary from the day when I had to go down to Bellevue and look at the mess that the cops made of him. I took this picture, if any of you can see it. He was practically ready to die by then. I went down to St. James Infirmary. I saw my former baby there, all stretched out on a bed in a trauma ward, so cold, so white, with vacuum tubes in his trachea and gauze over his staring white eyes where the bullets have gone. And the new guidelines for handling the mentally ill said, quote, stun gun, don't shoot, after the Eleanor Bumpers case. My friend Elizabeth thinks this is going to be a big civil liberties case. It wasn't. Carol, his other girlfriend, is also thinking of a lawsuit and coming to New York. I'm scared. My mind keeps saying, if only I didn't shut him out that night, this wouldn't have happened. I feel guilty. The detective is saying he was charged with assault and attempted murder for taking out a knife and cutting a cop's arm. 3 bullets in the leg, 1 in the neck, brain damage. Talk about your mind-blown hippie. He sleeps. He breathes on his back, his mouth wide open, twitches sometimes, moves, but no other sign of life, responds to pain. If you pinch him, he twitches. If I fight, it would be for more humane treatment of mental patients. It rained all day. I didn't cry till I listened to Marley's Kaya. Then I wept and felt better. Besides that, it's a dull headache. I am so lucky to have Thule, my new boyfriend, to soften the blow. I'm afraid I'll lose him too. Maybe this is my last view of Frank. I took some pictures to send to Carol. Is this the cure for mental illness, I thought of. Eleanor Bumpers Revisited. Last night a nightmare that the sun disappeared from the sky. Then Carol called, what to tell Francesca, that's Frank's daughter. At least, what? That's enough? Okay. At least he's not in pain anymore. Easter week begins tomorrow.
Okay. All right. My name is Ricky Gordon, and my brother was killed in Atlanta. His name was Ronald Gordon, 3 days before he was getting married. I got issues. I got issues with rotten motherfucking policemen. All policemen are not rotten, but the ones that are rotten, I have the issues with them. So what we need to do is come together and change these laws and amend the laws and give them a stiffer sentence, and let's try to do what we can do. Now, I would like for you all to email the DA in Atlanta, Paul Howard, to try to open my brother's case so that we can get some justice. And let's try to just help everybody out and make this a better life for everyone. And I thank those of you who came out to help. Stolen Lives Organization, Refuse to Resist. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
She was held in 110 Skimmerhorn Street. She was held there for 3 hours of community service that she owed, and that's the reason that she's not with us today. I don't know if a cop was having a bad day, but I know that when she went in there, she was fine, but 3 days later, she was dead. And this is her mother, and she was her only child, and I'm speaking on behalf of my family, and I just want to say that this October 22nd event is a great event because we have the chance to get together and grieve together and to let the word out, because people think that, like Ms. Baez said, it's an isolated incident, but it's not.